listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
Final hour Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 2. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jonas Siegel in here from The Athletic. We just played some trivia in the previous segment. Jonas got the W. But it was close.
Does that mean you were carrying Jeff and I was being dragged down by Masters?
Oh, Masters was pathetic.
Masters was not very good at trivia.
No. And he practiced. What a nerd.
He talked a big game and he just did not.
I went through all the questions last night.
He's a smart guy, but he didn't walk the walk, man. He talked the talk a lot.
We still talk about the question he got wrong, the Tessa Bonhomme not knowing that she played D.
Yeah. How can you mess that up? That's your colleague,
your
friend.
You're a reporter. You're a reporter.
Yeah. How could you not know that Tessa Bonhomme played defense?
Left defense.
Embarrassing. But what are you going to do? We'll get Mark back in here at some point. We might try to pencil in a couple more questions at some point.
Give me a chance. I don't need you back in the game.
I can't help you.
Give me one chance against Jonas again. In the 6 p.m. hour.
Okay, well, we got Bob McKenzie coming up at 6:30. We got Ryan Dempster in about 10 minutes. So whenever we get an opportunity here, we'll mix in a couple of other questions just to see if you can redeem yourself, right?
Because I can't get any worse. I had a tough
one. You won't forget the first prime minister now.
John A. McDonald.
See, we're teaching. We're educating.
Yeah. You're not going to forget that, all right? Who was the president of the Raptors when they won their first NBA championship?
Masai Ujiri.
Yes, sir!
Masai Ujiri, he's back, baby. Because he was on the podium today, and man, was he in a good mood, and he should be. You know, we started the show at 4 p.m. talking about Masai and his press conference, and I want to play the one clip about, because you knew this question was coming. Are you staying in Toronto? Like, there's been all these rumors out there. People have been trying to figure out who's floating the rumors out.
About the Wizards?
Yeah, is it Ted Leonsis?
Why would he go to the
owner?
Wizards?
Well,
for more money?
The connection was his wife is from the area.
Okay.
Obviously, Masai is a visionary in terms of the whole world. Like, he's heavily connected with what's happening in Africa.
Yeah.
Being in Washington doesn't hurt in terms of, you know, rubbing elbows with the right people who have money and who have connections. And by all accounts, they were willing to make him the richest executive in the league, give him an ownership stake. But when Masai was asked about it today, like, what's your future all about here in Toronto? Here's what he had to say.
Yes. For me, it's always been about Toronto. I love it here. My family loves it here. My wife loves it here, which is very important. My kids are Canadians. And you want to win more for me. And I can continue to address teams wanting me and all those things, you know, like that's a blessing in life. And I don't use it in a way that's, for me, the blessing is being wanted here and finding a place that makes you happy.
So that's probably everything you wanted to hear. If you're a Raptor fan, if you're from Toronto, loves it here, wants to stay here, not going anywhere. Okay, so now we get back to work, which is what he said as well. He's like, we've won our title. We celebrated that title.
Dude, people
Let's
in sports,
get after
though,
it here.
They have comments. I'm sure he said, I love Denver. Love it here.
Yeah.
I'm sure he told DeMar DeRozan, you're never going to be traded.
Well, and you wonder if, like, the Lakers came to him and said, you know, we'll make you the highest paid executive and did all that stuff that Washington did. But it's the Lakers?
Well, the Lakers have taken a hit, though.
Like, yeah, I but think, it's still the
you
Lakers.
You know, Masai is an underdog. Like, I think we lose sight of that because of what he's accomplished now and how polished he is in terms of the NBA world and his resume being what it is. But he said that multiple times throughout the press conference today, that he's not supposed to be here. Yeah. You know, he grew up in Africa, and somehow now he's an NBA champion executive and getting calls from presidents and prime ministers and celebrities.
He's buddies with Obama.
Yeah. I don't think that has been lost on him. You know, I don't think he forgets where he's from, and I think he understands what he's done with this particular market because of how different Toronto is from every other team in the NBA because of geography and because of the perception that you can't win here. And I kind of like that he's still got a chip on his shoulder. I think he needs to continue to have a chip on his shoulder. If Kawhi comes back, you know, his job, for the most part, next year is done. Like, they'll work something out at the deadline. They'll probably make another deal, probably sign a couple of bought-out free agents. But if you come back with Kawhi and Marc Gasol opts in, and let's say you re-sign Danny Green, which I think is a real possibility if you re-sign Kawhi Leonard, what more are you doing? Your team's set. You know who you are. But if Kawhi Leonard walks in the next week or two, Masai Ujiri's right back on the clock from a professional standpoint. Now, nowhere near as much anxiety and pressure because of what he just accomplished, but I think he puts the pressure on himself, and I think that's something that is important to point out.
Well, it just one guy signing can just eliminate so many question marks.
Every question mark.
Yeah, he's the real deal. He's a top two or three player in the world.
Yeah. Changes everything if Kawhi comes back. But if he doesn't, and it's a real possibility that he won't, you're still playing next October.
And they're still a playoff team.
I think they are. Absolutely.
For sure
the way
they
that are. They're built.
Look at their record. Like, it's hard to like take that record and make it mean anything, but their record without Kawhi last year was good.
Now, I think Danny Green might leave if Kawhi leaves.
Yeah.
Marc Gasol, I think, is going to opt in either way, but you never know, I guess. Then all of a sudden, okay, it's Kyle, and it's Siakam, and it's Fred, and it's Ibaka. You're maybe a 45-win team with the 5 seed in the East, right? Like, you might be. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Depending on what else happens throughout the Eastern Conference. But they're a playoff team, I think, regardless. But I do think that was an important kind of subcontext of what came out of the press conference, as I said, at 4 o'clock. Masai, he wants people to understand, even if Kawhi leaves, doesn't mean the Raptors cease to exist. Doesn't mean they're going to accept mediocrity. It won't be easy, and it won't be a quick turnaround. It's not going to happen between now and next year. They're going to go out there and get the next Kawhi Leonard. But I think Masai wants people to understand, and he should. He's already done it once. He promised he would do it, and now he's saying we're going to do it again, with or without Kawhi. And I think he deserves the benefit of the doubt because he's proven he can do it. Changes everything when you finally win. When you finally win, it changes everything. Like, you know these other GMs in the city are so envious of Masai Ujiri.
Well, can you imagine if you're like Kyle Dubas and you're seeing the parades and stuff?
Like, that but
was
even
the
way
that
you
was
treat
the Raptors.
It. Like
that's the ultimate goal. Like, you talk about scouting and analytics and, you know, drafts and contracts, and then that's the reason you're
then you
actually,
just win.
Yeah, you're doing it for that parade, those champagne bottles in the locker room in Golden State. Like, that's so many teams. I mean, everybody has seen it. Every sports town. St. Louis just won their first Stanley Cup. That's why you're doing all that stuff you do, day in and day out.
Gives you a chance to breathe, finally. You know no one can throw anything at you. Like, Masai, again, just had the press conference, Hall of Fame press conference, if you're an executive in pro sports, because everyone's like, hey, great stuff, Masai. Go ahead and you speak about how great that was. No one's grilling you. No one's second-guessing you. No one's asking anything. No. Like, if the Leafs win a cup next year, no one's going to be like, hey, you know, about that Nylander, you know, let's go back there, Kyle, and explain how that happened. Nobody. Hey, what happened with Mitch Marner and, you know, all that kind of stuff? Why'd you give him the deal you ended up giving him? Presumably, that's what ends up happening between now and next spring. Doesn't matter, man. Must be just the most free feeling in the world if you're an executive after winning a title. You just know all the chains have been broken off. No one can attach you to anything.
And the different thing negatively for him is it's the whole country. Like, if you win in any of the other cities, it's just like your city and no one else cares. He goes anywhere here and it's probably just nuts.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure Pat Gillick did the same thing back in the 90s.
Yeah. It's still crazy that was 26 years ago before it happened. Like, that's wild.
Yep.
Not a great championship sports town yet. This helps, though.
Well, it's a lot better than it was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Absolutely. More trivia later in the hour. Bob McKenzie at 6:30. Longtime member of Major League Baseball. One of the great Canadian ball players of all time. And a big part of MLB Network. Friend of the show, Ryan Dempster, back on Overdrive. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, guys, evening. How's things?
Well, we're doing well.
We're, the woods.
Well, we're still talking about the Raptors. I mean, as a Canadian, were you kind of tracking what the Raptors were doing?
No doubt. I mean, let's face it, you know, hockey's over. I don't really, like, wholeheartedly follow the CFL much anymore. So when there's something in the sports world in Canada going on, like the Toronto Raptors being in the NBA final, it kind of sparked my love of my natural love of basketball a little bit, and I started watching all the games, and it was awesome. I was actually in Toronto Thursday night, and got out just as they were winning the game on the way out to St. Mary's. But what an incredible thing for the city and for the country.
As a former pitcher, when you look at Marcus Stroman and the situation he finds himself in, where it feels like all of baseball is kind of focused on him, people in Boston hate him, people in New York love him because people in Boston hate him. You know, people in Toronto are fascinated with his future, although I can't picture him having much of a future here in Toronto. How do you feel about the scenario that Marcus Stroman currently finds himself in?
Yeah, I think it's fun. It's exciting. He's a great personality for the game. He's a guy that wears his emotions on his sleeve. He loves being the underdog. You know, he talks about that. And I love watching him pitch. I love watching him compete, you know, and to see a guy who you know, when you watch the draft, the size, it's always about how big somebody is or how strong they are. And when you have a guy that's not really that big in stature but plays like he's 6'5" out on the mound, it's fun to watch. And he's got great stuff, and he helps the Blue Jays every fifth day. And I'm sure somebody around there who would like some starting pitching, not just this year but for next year too, would really love to have him on their side and go out there and help them.
Ryan, you ever had a teammate where you just drop into a city and they drop hints that, you know, I would like this to be my next destination? For the longest time, Marcus has always said, love the Jays, love Canada, but it seemed like this week, it's like, I'd love New York, I love the Yankees, I'd love to be here. You ever had that situation where, I don't know what that does amongst your teammates. I know the guy's probably going anyway, but what's that kind of feel like?
Early on in my career, every time we went to Chicago, the entire bus ride would be like, man, we got to play here. Who wouldn't love to play here? You know, I think that, listen, he knows he plays in a great town. He loves Toronto. He's never been shy about that. But for some guys, there's an appeal to play in other places and, you know, to play as part of the Yankees and what that means and the pressure of playing in New York. It's a different beast, you know. It's not like that everywhere, and you got to be highly accountable on a day-in, day-out basis. And you see pitchers and players who come to New York, and it doesn't work out well for them, and it's hard times. So, you know, I think, you know, it's got to be a hard thing sometimes. He's a human being, and he's always constantly talked about being traded or where he might play next or where his future is. But right now he's in a Toronto uniform, and he's got to go out there and do his job for them. But you know, he's a good young pitcher in this game, and is capable of doing some special things out on the mound.
With MLB Network analyst Ryan Dempster, the Jays are in Yankee Stadium tonight. Clayton Richard is on the mound for the Jays, and he has a job to do because I'm sure he wants to win the game, but I also believe he doesn't want to be a part of history because the Yankees have hit a home run in 27 straight games, and they have a chance to put up a 28th tonight. If you're Clayton Richard and you're preparing for the game, how often is that popping into your mind that the Yankees mash and they're on the verge of breaking records in terms of home runs in consecutive games?
Well, the record thing, I think you don't even really think about. I don't remember too many times over my entire career ever paying attention to what record somebody else has got. It's, you know, maybe like a 3,000th punch out or something like that. But listen, they're going to hit their homers. They do that day in and day out. Even their B lineup mashes. So now they got these big righties in there. I think the biggest thing you focus on is only give up solo homers. Try not to give up the big homer, the three-run homer, or, you know, the one with the bases loaded. If you can work on just giving up solo homers, hopefully your guys score more and just execute pitches, because they thump all of them. 1 through 9, they can all hit the ball at the ballpark. They got a tremendous lineup, especially against left-handed pitching.
Was there, like, one lineup, Ryan, for you that you would just, like, go into the game and you're like, man, I don't really want to face these guys because it's, like, one after another after another after another?
Yeah, I remember facing the Yankees in 1998. Yeah. You look at that year they had that team. They were unbelievable. And it was, and he started the game, and it's just one guy after another: Derek Jeter and Bernie Williams and Tino Martinez and Daryl Strawberry and Paul O'Neill. And you're just like, what the heck? Come on, can the pitcher hit? I know it's the American League, but can we let him hit? Somebody else like that doesn't mash, go up there. But you know, going through that's. You know, you always have a saying when you go out there and you're going through a lineup and you're going through with your catcher before the game, who don't we let us beat us tonight? Like, who's the guy that doesn't beat us? The Yankees right now have like three or four of those guys, and that's tough to navigate through.
With Ryan Dempster, a big story recently in baseball that has caused a big stir up here in Canada is this Tampa Bay Rays Montreal Expos mashup. And I guess the Rays owner came out and spoke on it today, and even though they just got the go-ahead to explore the option, I'm pretty sure he said he thinks it's the best option. So again, I don't even know if he's been to Montreal, but I feel like this is politicking. I feel like they're still trying to get some money out of government down there. They want to get a new building. But as a player, if you were faced with this opportunity and you were a free agent and the owner said, we'd love for you to be here, we'll pay you, you know, whatever price you feel you need to be paid, but half the year you're living and playing in Tampa and the other half you're living and playing in Montreal, what would your reaction be?
My reaction would be that's no good. That's just
I want a trade.
Yeah, just like, you know, that's a lot. Like, you know, you guys have families. You got a lot of things to think about. Where am I going to put my kids in school? What are we going to do? And half the year you're going to be here. Half the year you're going to pay Florida taxes, which there's no state tax, and half the year you're going to pay taxes in Montreal, which is about 50% of your paycheck. So there's a lot of factors that I think would deter guys as free agents from signing there. Now, with that being said, I would love to just see there to be no team in Tampa and have a team in Montreal and put the stadium downtown. And I think you build a smaller type stadium, and I think that you would get a good crowd if you did that. I think that they could support that. You don't need 40,000, but if you had a, you know, 28,000 to 32,000 seat stadium, I think you could do that. And it would be great just to see that. And then what do you do with the logo and the merchandise? Like, what, half the time I got to get a different color pair of shoes? Like,
no kidding.
Who can do that? That's a tough draw.
What's the team name?
No one knows.
Is it the, you know, the Les Expos, the Rays, or, you know, we don't know what we're going with here. So I just think there's too many undecideds, and I would like to see either just one way or the other. I don't want to have to cheer for two teams during the year.
It's Les X-Rays.
Oh, it's the X-Rays.
The X-Rays.
Yes.
That's getting
Les
a lot
X-Rays.
Of love. It's getting a lot of love. Yeah, I think it's insulting, I think, to both fan bases. It's patronizing to Montreal.
Like, you got to just move the team, pick one or the other. It's just,
like, we don't really believe in you, but maybe half the games. And
like, for 40, we could do it.
Yeah, exactly. We can give you 40. After that, you know, you guys are really basically a AAA club. But
and I personally, like, I have a little soft spot because I love the Stade. I love going out there and listening to the guy in the Vuvuzela going all game. And, you know, Yuppie, and I love the logo, and it's like one of my favorite jerseys. And I used to get up in the mornings and watch them on the French Channel back in Gibson's, British Columbia. So I have a little bit of a soft spot for the Les Expos.
Yeah, well, listen, I think people in Montreal are desperate. They'd love to just have a team, but I don't know. Like, we talked about it when the report came out.
Dude, I told you. Like, I went to a home opener in Montreal playing in the playoffs, rammed, second game, 4,000 people.
Yeah, which is Tampa. That's what they have. It's not like it's, you know, we're thinking New York. We could go to New York. They don't have a team. You know, I think people in New York would support a team. It's a city that hasn't worked and another city that hasn't worked and try to amalgamate the two. And, like, if they make it to the playoffs, who gets to host the playoffs? Like, you're going to have it's a disaster in the making.
I think that it would be better off, and maybe I'm wrong, but didn't the Alouettes start to draw better once they went down to McGill?
Yes, they did, significantly.
Significantly, and I think having an idea where you get on a train out to the Stade Olympique, where, you know, you might get a rave going on there at some point while the game's going on, which actually happened when I was a player. So I think it's just a different element. I think if you had a stadium downtown that wasn't, you know, overly aggressive as far as having to fill it with huge capacity, that I think you could draw. I think you could draw well, and then just the dynamic comes, how do you recruit free agents, because we see it all the time. Guys turn down trades to California because of the state tax, and now you have a chance to say you're going to tax you even at a higher rate to playing in Canada. You have to pay for that, and when you don't have the revenue, it's hard to pay for that. So it makes it for a really, really tough situation.
All right, circle back with Ryan Dempster. You just said that when you were playing at the Big O, there was a rave taking place outside of the stadium?
Inside of the stadium.
Inside.
It was awesome. So I started the night before. I went to the field, and I would go do a run, and I'm doing runs. I'm lapping the field and the outfield, and every time I would get to the center field wall, I'd hear this, like, boom, 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 and it'd get louder, and then it would fade away as I'd go down the left field. And then I'm like, okay, so I finished my running, and now I'm just kind of in a cool-down period. I'm like, I'm going to find out what this noise is. What's this thump that's going on? And I can tell it's kind of music, but I don't know if, like, there's construction going on, and somebody's just jamming back there, or one of the guys getting his car washed, and it's, I don't know. So I make my way all the way into the tunnel, and I see all these dudes in white, like full-on white, and it was a whiteout. So they were all wearing all-white clothes, and they were in, like, some sort of auxiliary-type room, and they were just glow sticks were flowing, and people were having fun. So I just went back to the locker room and told everybody, grab your glow sticks and let's suit up, boys, and let's go grind, dance their way out there in the outfield.
Wow.
It was pretty, I've never seen anything like it in my life. It was incredible. I loved it.
A rave inside the Big O.
You know, things. Baseball is a strange game. You never know what you're going to see when you go to the ballpark.
I guess so. Great stuff, Ryan. We always appreciate it. Thank you for this.
Hey, guys, absolutely. Great talking with you.
Here's Ryan Dempster, longtime MLB pitcher and MLB Network analyst. Just doing laps and... There would have been some extracurricular activity taking place.
Yes.
At that rave. What the hell was happening in Montreal? Like, the baseball team is playing the next day or whatever. Just going to have a rave in one of these back rooms underneath the stadium.
Play 162 a year. You must see all kinds.
Yeah. Well, Montreal's got that kind of reputation. They can get down if they have to. They will party. All right, Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider, will join us. The Hockey Hall of Famers were announced for this upcoming fall. We'll get into that a little bit. And what's the latest around the NHL? A lot of rumors out there, UFAs, RFAs, et cetera. Bobby Macker, Hockey Insider, will join us next. All right, Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider, will join us here in a moment. Jonas, you just said the Rolling Stones, they're in town later in the week, and you're going to be at the concert?
Never seen them before. I'm excited.
Outstanding. June 29th, the Rolling Stones taking over Burrells Creek Event Grounds. We are giving away a pair of tickets every day this week on Overdrive. Phone lines are open, 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. Caller 3. Caller 3. You're going to see the Rolling Stones with Jonas Siegel.
He's going to be 76 at the end of July.
Mick?
That's crazy.
Still rocking, man.
He can still dance.
Oh, he'll be doing the chicken dance and everything. He'll be going back and forth, getting the crowd fired up.
He's a rock star.
Yep. He doesn't mess around.
Do you think he's like number one on the rock star rankings? Like legit rock star. Like everything we think of rock star. Good music, like crazy.
Oh, yeah. The women, the drugs.
Number one. Pick overall, for sure?
Yeah, probably. I think Jagger would be number one. Because I don't consider the Beatles like McCartney to be in that category, you know? It's either the Stones or Zeppelin.
Yeah, but Robert Plant doesn't have, like, the same...
No, he's not the same frontman, like, legacy, you know?
Yeah.
Bob McKenzie in a moment. Quick trivia for you, speaking of rock and roll. David Gilmour and Roger Waters were in which rock group?
Oh, you got to know that.
David Gilmour and Roger Waters were in which rock group to save your legacy on Overdrive?
Crosby, Stills, Nash.
You're a moron!
Would you stop with the you're a moron thing after?
That's Pink Floyd, dude.
Pink Floyd.
Oh, yeah, I know Pink Floyd.
In which decade did golfer Jerry Player last win the British Open? Which decade?
That's a brutal
Jerry
question.
Player.
70s.
Yes, guys.
He's
back.
Batman's
He's back, Batman. Baby. Here's our Hockey Insider, Bob McKenzie. What's up, Bob?
Did you say Jerry Player?
Yeah, that's right.
No one's name is Gary on this show. It always is replaced with Jerry.
I did not know that. That's good to know, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Jerry Lawless, we're going to have him on at some point. We love Jerry. Yep.
Yeah.
Jerry my Roberts.
My son Sean's got a dog in my name, Jerry.
There you go. Exactly.
Has that dog made it to the cottage yet?
Yeah.
Oh, you're softening, Bobby.
Did you see Sean? He posted a pic recently. No tarp.
Oh, around. Was that ever a staged pic? At the cottage was the underwriting, and it's like, okay.
Duffy's got to teach him how to do the back shot where you can pump up the traps.
Did you take that picture, Bob, for him? Or
no, I wasn't. I haven't seen the cottage. I don't even know what it looks like.
Okay. So where's your excitement level? Is it more for the UFAs or for the RFAs?
For vacation time. All that other stuff is just standing in the way.
Right.
I don't think the RFAs, I'm not to throw gas on a fire here, but I mean, unless there's an offer sheet, I'm not necessarily anticipating. I'm not saying you might not get an RFD or two signing between now and Monday, but there's a very good chance, absent an offer sheet, that we're going to be talking about this when I come back from vacation after Labor Day.
Really? Like league-wide you're talking? Multiple guys, like big guys that just are not willing to take the deal?
I'm sure the teams are working at it. They're trying to get it done because it would be better to get it done sooner rather than later so teams have a better handle on however all the pieces fit together. And maybe I'll be surprised. Maybe there'll be a whole rash of signings here, and maybe I'll be surprised and there'll be an offer sheet. But I'm sticking with the healthy dose of skepticism. And again, is there a realistic possibility that an offer sheet could come down this year more than other years? Yeah, I would say there probably is. Do I think? Absolutely. We'll be talking about an offer sheet here on Monday or Tuesday. Maybe, but I'm not holding my breath. And then again, I could be way, way, way off. And as I said, all of us, myself, Darren Dreger, Pierre LeBrun, I'm sure other insiders for other networks and outlets, we've all talked to teams over the course of the year who said, hey, this is the year. This is the year we're going with it as a strategy. And so, you take it on a little bit of faith, but I'm still very much part of that group that says it's easy to talk about doing it. It's another thing to do it. And hey, listen, if they do, great. There'll be lots of news to talk about and who it is and all of that. I know for obvious reasons, on our station, this station in Toronto, all the focus is obviously on Marner. But, I mean, there's lots of other places that could get dinged with an offer sheet if, in fact, one's going to exist. And as I said, I'm going to be relatively skeptical until I see it.
Well, so what's the reason, Bob, that teams are finally considering it? Is it just because of the names that are potentially available?
I think it's a multi-thing, multiple reasons. It's, number one, the quality of the player. And the quantity. The quality and quantity of this year's restricted free agent class is intriguing. The fact that we've got teams that are now maybe more than ever up against the cap in a very modest increase and maybe, a fear that that's going to be the same thing a year from now. So it just seems like the conditions have never... And probably a sense of some teams thinking, you know what? We're just silly not to. We're just, it's a tool in the toolbox and nobody uses it. Why not go for it? I think time to be more aggressive. But as I said, it's one thing to talk a good game, good offer sheet game. It's another thing to actually take the plunge. And so I guess we'll find out soon enough.
Bobby, doesn't it seem like Colorado is, I don't know what they're up to, but they're setting up for something big. I mean, they seem to be clearing cap space. I don't know if they're hot after Panarin, but they seem like they have some big plans ahead of them.
Well, they're interested in Panarin. I don't think there's any doubt about that. There's conflicting reports as to whether he was in Denver talking to them or whether his agent, Theofanis, was in Denver talking to them. But the bottom line is Colorado Avalanche have interest in Panarin. They've got tons and tons and tons of cap room, as you outlined. They just opened up some more with Soderberg being traded. And I think, you know, with the kind of team that they've got, where they've got McKinnon, they've got Landeskog, they've got Rantanen and all, and they've got to sign Rantanen, and a big chunk of their cap space is, or not the majority of it, but a large piece of their cap space is going to get eaten up by him. But they know they need more offensive depth. And, you know, they're set up really well for the future on defense, my goodness. Getting Bowen Byram in the draft to go with Cale Makar and Samuel Girard, that's pretty good. And there's been lots of speculation about Tyson Barrie, whether he's going to get traded or not get traded. I think Joe Sakic, I don't want to say he's ambivalent. If he got the right offer, I think he would move Barrie because he's a year away from unrestricted free agency. But because they are in a mode where if they can get Panarin signed and they can get a bunch of guys and make some moves, they could well hold on to Barrie and say, you know what, we want to be a really good team this year. We want to make the playoffs. We want to contend. And we're a better team with Barrie in our lineup than not. And whatever we get for him will probably be future considerations. And we're a little less concerned about our future right now, more concerned with the present. So if we have to keep him, and either if the year goes wrong, trade him at the deadline, or if the year goes well, keep him and let him go to free agency, let's do it. But let's have a good year here. Let's take a step. And I think that's kind of the mode that Joe Sakic and the Avs are in right now.
With Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider. So coming out of the draft, the Habs, we saw Craig Button. He kind of ranked all of the systems throughout Canada, but I also believe he was including the rest of the league in some of his analysis. And he believes that Montreal's got the best prospect pool going, the most balanced prospect pool going. And they're in kind of an interesting spot because they had a very good year last year. They missed, but they just missed. You got Carey Price locked in. Shea Weber's going to be healthy all year. Domi had a real breakout season for them. What's your read on Montreal? Because they got a lot of cap room, and now they got a really solid system. You know, how active would you expect the Habs to be?
It's a solid system, a really solid system, and in large part because they've started a rebuild. They, you know, in the last 2-3 years, they started offloading assets for draft picks, and I think they had some ridiculously high number of second-round picks last year, and they seemed to pick very wisely, and they created a real depth of talent with those guys, and obviously they got Ryan Poehling in the first round, and, you know, he kind of set the world on fire. He plays one game at the end of the season last year. He gets a hat trick. How ridiculous is that? Talk about setting the bar a little high for
yourself. No kidding.
In the first game, he's on pace for 240 goals his first year in the league. But, you know, and then they got Suzuki as part of the Pacioretty deal, and he's a good prospect. He was lights out in the playoffs, but none of these guys necessarily are going to be impact guys right away. They might, but there's not even any 100% guarantee that they make the team out of camp. They would love that they would, but they might need some time in Laval. You don't know. And they had another year where they had a ton of draft picks this year, and they obviously got the best goal scorer in the draft in Cole Caulfield, but I don't think he's ready. So the two things are a little bit separate in terms of all that cap space and what they're going to do with it. And in the past, you know, like last year, they had, you know, I think $6-7 million in dead cap space that they never used. And a lot of fans kind of got a little anxious about that, saying, come on, like, you know, if you've got cap space, use it. But they thought it might be a one-off, and they didn't want to get locked into somebody long term and then have to get jammed up because you carry Price money kicking in now. And but they do have cap room, and I'll be curious to see whether Mark Bergevin's going to sort of get outside the comfort zone. And again, if you look at the free agents that are out there, I'm not sure, you know, they're not going to get Panarin and Bobrovsky, and you know, some people think they should go for Matt Duchene, and maybe they will, but you know, I think Duchene has probably other destinations that might be more interesting to him. I don't know that for a fact, but I'm just surmising that. So it'll be curious to see how they utilize it, how much of it they utilize, and how aggressive they are or they aren't. Because, you know, it'd be real easy for Mark Bergevin to say, hey, we're sticking to the plan, even though you have Price and Weber. But they've got to get better on the blue line. There's no question about that.
Well, in full circle where the Maple Leafs are at, you know, there's so much focus on Marner, but with this defense corps, the way it's currently built, it's just not going to work. I mean,
I think they're aware of that.
Yeah, but you know, what can they do here?
Well, trade. There's no quick fixes on the free agent market for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I mentioned on Leafs Lunch the other day, you know, a guy like Anton Strålman would be the type of defenseman that they pick up in a heartbeat. But because he's an unrestricted free agent, he's going to get way more years, way more money, and probably way more protection, i.e. no move clauses, than the Toronto Maple Leafs or a lot of teams are going to be able to give him. So that's not really an option. So it becomes an issue where you start looking for trade possibilities. And you've got Connor Brown, who you can trade, and you've got Zaitsev, who you potentially could trade. But, I mean, understand one thing about the Zaitsev thing. He asked for a trade. The Leafs said, we'll see what we can do.
Somebody's got to want him.
Well, yeah, and on top of that, even if somebody did want him and they want to do a soft deal, the Leafs don't have to trade him. The Leafs can say to him, well, we understand you had personal reasons why you don't want to play here. Well, guess what? We didn't find a suitable trade for you, and you were a top four defenseman, and Mike Babcock will play you anywhere from 18 to 22 minutes a game, and buckle up because you're back in. And that's that. For now or for the foreseeable future until we sort things out. And they're obviously going to continue to look at their options. But, you know, and again, you know, the Kapanen and Johnson deals are effectively done. They are. They're agreed to, and they're not contingent on Marner getting done or anything else. They're, at some point here, the Leafs will fully execute them, put them to paper, sign them off, and that'll be that. But, you know, they don't have no trade protection. They don't have no move clauses. And so all of those things are still very much in play if something should come along that makes a lot of sense.
Well, it's going to be a fun week. At some point, we're going to get more answers. We'll see where it goes. Thank you for this, Bob. Always appreciate it.
Excellent, boys. Have a good one.
Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider. Yeah, I do think it felt like a foregone conclusion. Zaitsev is definitely not going to be a part of the program, but until it happens, doesn't matter that you requested a trade. What's he going to do, not show up? They'd probably love that. Retire and go back to the KHL. The cap number's off the books. See you later.
That was a weird, like, was he really getting, his treatment was that poor? I mean, does he have any clue what it can be like here?
I don't, my impression is it's more like a personal life thing.
Because Don Cherry made a comment or like,
well, if that's the case, then you can't help the guy.
Know.
Yeah, but
I would have explored this anyway if I was the GM. I mean, that
it's not their contract. It's not Kyle's contract, so I'm sure he's not a huge fan of it.
Why would he be?
Yeah, I always said about that contract, like, I don't mind the money, but
7 years?
Would he have said, I'm completely offended if you said, here's 3 years?
No.
Yeah.
And if he says, I'll go back to Russia, you say, okay.
Yeah, it never made any sense.
Thanks.
Yeah. It never made any sense. Like,
the guy just came to the NHL and had a good rookie year. Wouldn't you, if you had said to him, here's a 3-year extension at $4 million, I'm pretty sure he would have said, that'd be great.
Unless it was worked out before he came over.
There's a 7-year deal at 4 a year?
It's the only explanation. They got him as
a
free agent. No, but it doesn't mean it's not the explanation. If you pick us, because a lot of teams in the league were trying to get him.
We're going to sign you for 7 years?
Well, he negotiated the deal.
Then you say, take a hike.
That's fine, but they didn't.
No.
That's my point. They did not do that. They decided to lock him in.
Crazy.
Yeah, and it's
Cup
not a good
winning GM.
Deal.
There you go.
Well, but I brought this up yesterday. Why doesn't Brendan Shanahan ever come up in that?
No, that's fair.
Why is it always
fair.
Lou? Everything.
Yeah, it's very
fair. And Dubas was in that room.
Yeah, well, he wasn't the GM.
Yeah, but here's the thing about
when
that.
When you're the assistant GM, you can't control
okay, but this is decision. Here's the inconsistency in that. I agree with you. But here's the inconsistency. Did Keith Gretzky in Edmonton get any of that when he took over for Peter Chiarelli? Everyone said, hey, he was in the room with Chiarelli and he let Chiarelli make all those moves. What a dope. Well, Kyle was just as much in the room as Keith Gretzky was.
Yeah, but it's not like there's a button and he can protect him from
No, but I'm saying be consistent. Like people that are chirping Keith Gretzky.
Fair.
Because he was in the room with Chiarelli when he signed Lucic.
I think when you
Dubas was in the room too with Lou. The assistant GM can't tell them not to do it. So I'm saying Dubas should be let off the hook, but so should guys like Keith Gretzky and other
How much
assistant
input
GMs.
Do you think you have in any kind of role when Lou Lamoriello was running the show?
Well, I don't think the subordinates do. I think Brendan Shanahan.
Well, that's the more interesting question. Like, could Shanahan have said no?
Of course he could have.
Well, then that's a failing. because the contract's preventing them from doing lots of stuff.
Yeah, he's not an awful player, but it's just a brutal contract.
Yeah.
I really don't know if they're going to be able to trade it. Five more years, four and a half?
He might become a buyout candidate in a couple of years. Like, he might have to bite the bullet and play here.
Well, would you guys give up some? Let's say a team said, we'll take him, but we want something good. Would you be willing to give up a prospect or another pick?
No. Not if I don't have a contingency plan. Because at the end of the day, regardless of the contract, he can still play in the league.
Right, and you don't have enough.
You don't have enough. He can still play. He's not. It's not like he's an American Hockey League player. You know, he can still play. He's playing in your lineup, and he's going to give you minutes and kill penalties and all that.
But if you trade him and do what I'm suggesting, maybe you can re-sign Jake Gardner.
That ship has sailed.
Yes.
Has it? Why?
Because I think he's going to demand too much. And why do you need Jake Gardner?
What do you mean? He's a good defenseman.
But, okay, what's that done for you recently? And where's he playing? No, but seriously, where? Who? Like, Riley and Muzzin are playing ahead of him on the left side.
How do we know? Maybe they can move one of those guys over.
Okay. We'll come back and we'll
see.
You
haven't won a round with him. He's a fantastic talent, but there's no need to go back to that well.
I don't think, I wouldn't sign off on Zaitsev and a sweetener for Gardner. You got to give me a different plan than that, personally.
We have to go, I think.
All right. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm on the over in the Yankee game tonight. Blue Jays as well. I'm on the Cubbies and I'm on the Rockies in the Bay Area tonight. Find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. We got some trivia today.
Give me one more for both of us, and this is the championship.
Forget
about what happened earlier. One each.
The championship question. In what year did the Chernobyl nuclear disaster take place?
Like Jonas.
Jonas, you're on the clock.
It's either like 84 or 94. Let's go with...
I'm going with 1985.
No guy.
Jonas?
84?
No.
You're a moron!
You guys suck. Like, you
come
guys
on.
You guys are really awful.
We have time for one more quick one.
Which Disney film had the theme... What? The theme song, A Whole New World.
Oh, that's easy. If you don't know that, you should just quit.
A whole new world. I don't know.
Aladdin.
Having the time of his life.
Aladdin.
Name the six original six teams in the NHL for all the marbles.
Chicago, New York, Detroit, Toronto, Montreal, Rangers.
You said it already. Come on, man.
I forget the other one.
We just
Boston Bruins.
Them, yes.
He's back, baby.
Yes, guys.
Hey, Jonas, good
congratulations.
Seeing you.
Thanks,
Jonas Seeger from The Athletic. Great seeing you, buddy. We'll see you throughout the summer. Noodles is back tomorrow. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.